Today is the 21st day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and it is fantastic to be around the global campfire together with you here right now as we gather and take the next step forward on our journey through the scriptures. We started the book of 2 Chronicles yesterday without a lot of fanfare because, well, 1 and 2 Chronicles, they're not moving us into entirely different territory. We're just continuing the story forward. The books were broken apart later on after they were written for the ease of finding things. So we have begun to track along with King Solomon and his intention to build a temple for the name of the Most High God, and situated in Jerusalem, where King David had established the place. So let's pick up the story. 2 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 1 through 6, verse 11 today. Solomon also made a bronze altar, 30 feet long, 30 feet wide, and 15 feet high. Then he cast a great round basin, 15 feet across from rim to rim, called the Sea. It was 7.5 feet deep and about 45 feet in circumference. It was encircled just below its rim by two rows of figures that resembled oxen. There were about 6 oxen per foot all the way around, and they were cast as part of the basin. The Sea was placed on a base of 12 bronze oxen, all facing outward. 3 faced north, 3 faced west, 3 faced south, and 3 faced east, and the Sea rested on them. The walls of the Sea were about 3 inches thick, and its rim flared out like a cup and resembled a water lily blossom. It could hold about 16,500 gallons of water. He also made 10 smaller basins for washing the utensils for the burnt offerings. He set 5 on the south side and 5 on the north, but the priests washed themselves in the Sea. He then cast 10 gold lampstands according to the specifications that had been given, and he put them in the temple. 5 were placed against the south wall, and 5 were placed against the north wall. He also built 10 tables and placed them in the temple, 5 along the south wall, and 5 along the north wall. Then he molded 100 gold basins. He then built a courtyard for the priests, and also the large outer courtyard. He made doors for the courtyard entrances and overlaid them with bronze. The great bronze basin, called the Sea, was placed near the southeast corner of the temple. Huram Abi also made the necessary wash basins, shovels, and bowls. So at last, Huram Abi completed everything King Solomon had assigned him to make for the temple of God. The 2 pillars, the 2 bowl-shaped capitals on top of the pillars, the 2 networks of interwoven chains that decorated the capitals, the 400 pomegranates that hung from the chains on the capitals, 2 rows of pomegranates for each of the chain networks that decorated the capitals on top of the pillars, the water carts holding the basins, the Sea and the 12 oxen under it, the ash buckets, the shovels, the meat hooks, and all the related articles. Huram Abi made all these things of burnished bronze for the temple of the Lord, just as King Solomon had directed. The king had them cast in clay molds in the Jordan Valley between Succoth and Zarethan. Solomon used such great quantities of bronze that its weight could not be determined. Solomon also made all the furnishings for the temple of God: the gold altar, the tables for the bread of the presence, the lampstands and their lamps of solid gold to burn in front of the most holy place as prescribed, the flower decorations, lamps and tongs, all of the purest gold, the lamp snuffers, bowls, ladles, and incense burners, all of solid gold, the doors for the entrances to the most holy place and the main room of the temple, overlaid with gold. So Solomon finished all his work on the temple of the Lord. Then he brought all the gifts his father David had dedicated, the silver, the gold, and the various articles, and he stored them in the treasuries of the temple of God. Solomon then summoned to Jerusalem the elders of Israel and all the heads of tribes, the leaders of the ancestral families of Israel. They were to bring the Ark of the Lord's Covenant to the temple from its location in the city of David, also known as Zion. So all the men of Israel assembled before the king at the annual Festival of Shelters, which is held in early autumn. When all the elders of Israel arrived, the Levites picked up the Ark. The priests and Levites brought up the Ark, along with the special tent and all the sacred items that had been in it. There, before the Ark, King Solomon and the entire community of Israel sacrificed so many sheep, goats, and cattle that no one could keep count. Then the priests carried the Ark of the Lord's Covenant into the inner sanctuary of the temple, the most holy place, and placed it beneath the wings of the cherubim. The cherubim spread their wings over the ark, forming a canopy over the ark and carrying its poles. These poles were so long that their ends could be seen from the holy place, which is in front of the most holy place, but not from the outside. They are still there to this day. Nothing was in the ark except the two stone tablets that Moses had placed in it at Mount Sinai, where the Lord made a covenant with the people of Israel when they left Egypt. Then the priests left the holy place. All the priests who were present had purified themselves, whether or not they were on duty that day. And the Levites, who were musicians, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and all their sons and brothers, were dressed in fine linen robes and stood at the east side of the altar playing cymbals, lyres, and harps. They were joined by 120 priests who were playing trumpets. The trumpeters and singers performed together in unison to praise and give thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voices and praised the Lord with these words: "He is good. His faithful love endures forever." At that moment, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The priests could not continue their service because of the cloud, for the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple of God. And Solomon prayed, "O Lord, you have said that you would live in a thick cloud of darkness. Now I have built a glorious temple for you, a place where you can live forever." Then the king turned around to the entire community of Israel, standing before him, and gave this blessing: "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who has kept the promise he made to my father David. For he told my father, 'From the day I brought my people out of the land of Egypt, I have never chosen a city among any of the tribes of Israel as the place where a temple should be built to honor my name. Nor have I chosen a king to lead my people Israel. But now I have chosen Jerusalem as the place for my name to be honored, and I have chosen David to be king over my people Israel.'" Then Solomon said, "My father David wanted to build this temple to honor the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord told him, 'You wanted to build the temple to honor my name. Your intention is good, but you are not the one to do it. One of your own sons will build the temple to honor me.' And now the Lord has fulfilled the promise he made, for I have become king in my father's place. And now I sit on the throne of Israel, just as the Lord promised. I have built this temple to honor the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. There I have placed the ark which contains the covenant that the Lord made with the people of Israel." Romans 7, 1 through 13. Now, dear brothers and sisters, you who are familiar with the law, don't you know that the law applies only while a person is living? For example, when a woman marries, the law binds her to her husband as long as he is alive. But if he dies, the laws of marriage no longer apply to her. So while her husband is alive, she would be committing adultery if she married another man. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law and does not commit adultery when she remarries. So, my dear brothers and sisters, this is the point. You died to the power of the law when you died with Christ. And now you are united with the one who was raised from the dead. As a result, we can produce a harvest of good deeds for God. When we were controlled by our old nature, sinful desires were at work within us, and the law aroused these evil desires that produced a harvest of sinful deeds, resulting in death. But now, we have been released from the law, for we died to it and are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit. Well then, am I suggesting that the law of God is sinful? Of course not. In fact, it was the law that showed me my sin. I would never have known that coveting is wrong if the law had not said, "You must not covet." But sin used this command to arouse all kinds of covetous desires within me. If there were no law, sin would not have that power. At one time, I lived without understanding the law. But when I learned the command not to covet, for instance, the power of sin came to life, and I died. So I discovered that the law's commands, which were supposed to bring life, brought spiritual death instead. Sin took advantage of those commands and deceived me. It used the commands to kill me. But still, the law itself is holy, and its commands are holy and right and good. But how can that be? Did the law, which is good, cause my death? Of course not. Sin used what was good to bring about my condemnation to death. So we can see how terrible sin really is. It uses God's good commands for its own evil purposes. Psalm 17, a prayer of David. O Lord, hear my plea for justice. Listen to my cry for help. Pay attention to my prayer, for it comes from honest lips. Declare me innocent, for you see those who do right. You have tested my thoughts and examined my heart in the night. You have scrutinized me and found nothing wrong. I am determined not to sin in what I say. I have followed your commands, which keep me from following cruel and evil people. My steps have stayed on your path. I have not wavered from following you. I am praying to you because I know you will answer, O God. Bend down and listen as I pray. Show me your unfailing love in wonderful ways. By your mighty power, you rescue those who seek refuge from their enemies. Guard me as you would guard your own eyes. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Protect me from wicked people who attack me, from murderous enemies who surround me. They are without pity. Listen to their boasting. They track me down and surround me, watching for the chance to throw me to the ground. They are like hungry lions eager to tear me apart, like young lions hiding in ambush. Arise, O Lord. Stand against them and bring them to their knees. Rescue me from the wicked with your sword. By the power of your hand, O Lord, destroy those who look to this world for their reward, but satisfy the hunger of your treasured ones. May their children have plenty, leaving an inheritance for their descendants. Because I am righteous, I will see you. When I awake, I will see you face to face and be satisfied. Proverbs 19, 22 and 23. Loyalty makes a person attractive. It is better to be poor than dishonest. Fear of the Lord leads to life, bringing security and protection from harm.
Okay, so we're far enough into Paul's letter to the Romans, even though it's a lengthy letter, we're in it far enough to know that he is systematically laying out an argument. So we begin with Abraham and Abraham's story. Paul takes us back to the beginning and explains through the scriptures that Abraham's righteousness came through faith in the promise God had given him, not in him obeying any set of rules. Then he got to that set of rules known as the Mosaic Law and began to explain, as he's doing in today's reading, that this is a good law. Like, what it says is true and right and holy, but it serves a purpose. It reveals sin. It reveals what will destroy us. And everyone was well aware that they could not obey it perfectly to make themselves righteous before God. And Paul is basically saying no one ever will, because no one is righteous and no one can make themselves righteous. But there is a way, and that way is through Jesus, who did fulfill the law. And through his work, his death and resurrection, we can all, through faith in Jesus, be free from sin. Paul uses an example in our reading today, and it's an example that holds true all the way until today, and it's about the covenant of marriage. And he says, like, look, when a woman gets married. She's bound under the law. She's in a covenantal relationship with her husband. So, if she goes off with another man, she is committing adultery, breaking the law, breaking the covenant of marriage. However, if her husband dies, she's not bound to any covenant with him anymore. He has died. She is free from that law. And then Paul makes his point, and I quote, "You died to the power of the law when you died with Christ, and now you are united with the one who was raised from the dead." So for a person like a Hebrew who had grown up under the weight of trying to obey the law, this is a revolutionary concept that goes all the way back to, like, the deepest parts of their faith. But that's one of the points Paul's trying to make. This deepest bedrock of our faith, the law, should have actually been the bedrock of faith to begin with. So we can see then, with that little bit of a twist, why Paul is constantly being persecuted. He's always in an argument. He's always on the hot seat about this, because it would seem as if he's denigrating or tearing down God's law and saying, like, it's not the way. It won't get us there. And so he says, and I quote, "Am I suggesting that the law of God is sinful? Of course not. In fact, it was the law that showed me my sin." And he uses that example of covetousness that we just read. Like, I wouldn't have known that covetousness was wrong unless the law told me it was wrong. And now that it's told me it's wrong, it arouses this curiosity, right, that pulls me toward breaking this law. Paul's point is that the law is good and perfect and holy, but its purpose is that it exposes the fact that we aren't righteous and we cannot achieve it on our own. The law exposes sin. Sin leads to death. Conversely, Jesus fulfilled the law, and through him, so do we. Sin isn't our problem anymore. We are invited to live free from that. But we have a choice, and we will become the slave of whatever we choose to obey. And so we can rejoice in this. This is like fundamentals of the Christian faith. And we certainly do rejoice in this. But most of the time, we still think sin is the problem, in the same way that the Jewish people thought obeying the law was the thing. We can't stop sinning any more than the Jewish people could obey the law perfectly. And so we tend to think sin is still the problem. It's just that there's a difference here. If we were on our own, yes, we could not stop sinning any more than we could obey the law perfectly. It's just that we're not on our own anymore. We are in Christ. The thing that changes the equation is Jesus. In Christ, sin has no claim. So may we just imagine, may we just go through the day imagining what it would be like to not have that dark cloud over us all of the time that makes us feel as if we're failing in every way, knowing that there is a bright sun above us, God's sun, who has swept the darkness away and invited us into freedom. And Holy Spirit, we invite you into that. Give us a divine imagination of what our lives are supposed to look like and what they can look like. We are certain of our limitations in our own ability to achieve sinlessness. We know that we do not have this ability. We don't need to have this ability. We need you. And so we run to you and put our faith in you, knowing that you are leading us on a path that leads to life, a path that day by day, step by step, continually transforms us into your image. And so we surrender to that process. Forgive us for the times that we have taken control and led ourselves astray. If it's true that sin has no claim to us, then we reject it utterly. We reject anything that would lead us away from you. And we just imagine our reality, the one you have provided, one in which we can come into your presence boldly and stand right before you. This changes everything. Holy Spirit, come, remind us again of how things really are, and lead us away from the darkness that we enmesh ourselves in all the time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That's home base. That's where you can find out what's going on around here. The Daily Audio Bible app does that and a lot more, and puts it all in the palm of your hand, and that can be downloaded free from the app store that works with your device. Just search for Daily Audio Bible and check it out. Check out the different sections, like the community section. This is where to get connected. This is where the prayer wall lives. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are resources there for the journey that we are on, including the brand new resource that we released this week for Daily Audio Bible Kids, the Bye shirt that can be found in the lifestyle section in the Daily Audio Bible Shop. So check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if this mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anybody who will listen anywhere on this planet, any time of day or night, and to build community around the rhythm of showing up for each other, if that is life-giving to you, then thank you. Thank you, humbly, for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Today I pray for a friend of mine who I sadly lost, but I pray that he is doing well up there in heaven with God. I also pray for the Lord to forgive me for all my sins that I have done for today. And I want him to make sure my friend Brian was up there safe. I also want to pray and tell God that for all the sins that I have done, that he forgives me for this one. I know that I've been lukewarm, but I'm working on not becoming lukewarm. And I know that I cuss and do all of this. I know I've cussed and smoked and did all of this, but I'm working on it. And I just want for God to forgive me. And I really wish that God would forgive me from all the sins that I've done, especially for those ones. And I pray for some good news, because I just realized that we got some new puppy, a new puppy that God has delivered to me, and his name is Rusty, and I'm really glad that we got him. And I think God has answered my prayer. I've been asking for a friend, and this is the friend that he has sent me, and I am so glad. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Heavenly Father, and hallowed be your word, in your name.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Kim from Indy, longtime listener, don't call too often. But today I just want to call and thank you for the love that you and support that you always show each other in the community. I just want to lift up in prayer those that are going through so much, whether it be marriages, children, just any loved one, just any type of hardship. I just want to pray for all of us today, including my family. Whether it be financial, legal, whatever you're going through. And I just want to share today with you just some words of encouragement that we realize that Jesus really is with us and he has never forsaken us. And even though sometimes life just seems to throw us curves, that I just want you to refer back to Psalms 57, 1 and 2. Which reads, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. For in my soul, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me." So Daily Audio Bible, today as we continue to pray for one another and support one another, just always help yourself to remember that going to God in prayer and knowing that sometimes times will be difficult, there's a purpose that God has for these difficulties, and that if we just stay the course, he really will be there to help us. And thank you all again, Daily Audio Bible listeners. I love you. I look forward to listening to you every day. Brian, Harding, and family, thank you all so much for this awesome podcast. Renzo, it was good hearing from you the other day. Blind Tony as well. Val, haven't heard from you.
God Smile, I wanted to thank you for your story of going to the beach that you told the other day. It was funny because I was at work listening to you talking about this seagull soaring in the air and hearing you frame it to a way that that's the way God works, that you can just kind of lean in and soar. But right as you were telling me that, right as you were telling that story, I'm about 100 miles inland, and we don't often get seagulls, but right when you were telling that story, there was a seagull that started making a fuss outside at our job site. And every day at different job sites since then, I've been hearing a seagull squawking away, and it keeps reminding me. And I just have this vision of just opening my arms and leaning into God. And I wanted to thank you for that. Bless you. 'Cause I think it's what I needed. I just needed a big hug from God. And you gave that to me. I can't really put my finger on what has been bothering me lately, but I feel some headwinds. And it's okay to just soar. And tell Peter I said, what's up? And that he's a good man for picking you. He knows. I love all you guys. And have a wonderful day.
Hi, DAB family. This is P.A. Chappie. I've called in a few times. The last time I called in was just to give a praise regarding the progress that I've been making at, the Lord has been making at my church here in central Pennsylvania. Hey, I wanted to give a praise and a prayer request. A praise is that on July 2nd, we had 11 baptisms. We had 11 believers' baptisms on July 2nd at my church. It might have been the first baptisms, I believe, in decades at this church. So a huge shout out to the Lord for that. Big praise to the Lord. The second thing that I want to give as a prayer request is I'm also, as my name suggests, I'm a chaplain in the Pennsylvania Army National Guard. And I had a soldier that I found out was at a training in Connecticut. And he became a heat casualty, which means he overheated while they were doing some training. And he is currently in a hospital in Connecticut. And he had to be induced in a coma, and he now has double pneumonia. And on Thursday, I will be driving up through that area, and I'll be stopping in to visit with this soldier and his wife. So just be praying that I can be a blessing to them, that I can be a support and encouragement to them, and pray for this soldier's healing, that he can be healed and they could get back to their life as normal. So thank you very much for praising the Lord with me and for praying for this soldier.